This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
Today's text is going to be from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21 through 24, and then we'll jump down to verse 35. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. Skipping down to verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat.
Amen. Welcome this morning to all of you who are here. This is a totally different look. You are not in your normal places. How many are sitting in the same place you normally sit? Anybody? I want to welcome all those who are watching in the fellowship hall and all those who are on Facebook. I think of the McCoskey family down in Charlotte. Hello, Todd and Barbara and family. And the Hammetts in Bolivia. I want to say welcome to them. We're glad that you're with us. Now, last week we were introduced to Jairus. Remember, in his desperate plea, we just heard that again, for his daughter to be healed. This is a striking scene. Mark tells us they are still by the sea. A great crowd is gathered around Jesus, as always. And then you might imagine that the crowd parts, because coming through the crowd is Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. A ruler of the synagogue was an important person in those days. He set the tone, set the agenda, ruled the synagogue, if you will. He wasn't the one who did all the teaching, but he was in charge. So he's making his way to Jesus, his face etched with pain and concern over his daughter. He falls on the sand. You can imagine the sandy beach there beside the sea. He falls on the sand before Jesus, and the Bible says he implored him earnestly. Now, in the previous story, we saw a legion of demons begging Jesus earnestly, same word, not to send them out of the country. And here we find a prominent citizen, not a demon-possessed man, but a religious ruler falling down at Jesus' feet, begging him. Why is he so distraught? Why is he so much in pain? Well, because his daughter is dying. That's the word that we talked about last week. My daughter is dying. She's at death's door, he tells Jesus. In fact, Luke's gospel also tells us that this was Jairus' only daughter. And the understanding there might be that this was Jairus' only child, not just his only daughter. We don't know. But that's why he is desperate. We're not told what Jairus has done up to that point to try to help his daughter. We don't know if physicians had come in and he has spent all of his money on physicians like someone else we talked about. We don't know that. That's reading into the text. It's really not important. What is important here is that he went to Jesus for help. Listen, a man, a father, a leader went to Jesus for help. Hey, dads. Where else can we go? Where else should we go? Well, let's look at this story today under three main points. Faith tested, faith strengthened, and then faith exemplified. So let's start with faith tested. We watched last week as the woman who suffered an issue of blood for 12 years reached out in faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She interrupted Jesus on his way. He was on his way to do what? To heal Jairus' daughter. This is where Carlene needs to be in the back. She can raise her hand. Carlene, we're glad you're with us today as well. Jesus stopped when he felt healing go out from him. This interesting thing, isn't it, right? When she touched his clothing, Jesus felt healing from him go into this woman. He doesn't know where it went. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, to think about that, that Jesus knew that he had just healed somebody. God had just healed somebody, right? And so he asked who it was, and the woman comes and she falls down before him, and the Bible says that she told him the truth of what she had done. She confessed to Jesus that she was the one who had touched him. And then he ministered to her soul at that point, just as he had ministered to her body, with total restoration. He restores her soul. In fact, he restores her soul eternally. He just restored her body temporally. She would still die, just like all of us will. But he restored her spirit for eternity. Now, we don't know how Jairus has been responding. Have you ever thought about that? What is Jairus doing during this whole scene when he knows his daughter is dying? Jesus has stopped on his way to heal his daughter. And he has faith Jesus can heal his daughter. And now he's stopped and he's interrupted by this other thing going on here. I can't imagine. Remember, this whole scene with this woman takes place, and what Jesus might have seen as an opportunity, did see as an opportunity. Jairus might have seen it as a great source of frustration and angst and worry and fear. Oh no, my daughter is going to die, and then it's going to be too late. We don't know, but we do know that while Jesus was speaking to this woman, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. At that moment, people come from Jairus' house. Luke tells us they were servants. The servants of Jairus comes to this scene and finds Jairus and says, "Your daughter is dead." And then, what do they say? "Why trouble the teacher any further?" Here's the question. What does Jairus really think of Jesus? Is Jesus, as Jairus' servants suggested, just a teacher? Because if Jesus is just a teacher, even though he's done some pretty cool things, right? Jairus didn't come to him because he was just a teacher. But if he's just a teacher who has done some amazing things, what's he going to do with death? Death, the ultimate obstacle, the ultimate enemy. How is this teacher, even though he's done some amazing things, how is he going to handle that? See, this is faith tested. The voice of the world, the voice of the devil, the voice of our own flesh will tell us it's too late, it's too hard, it's impossible, there's no hope, forget about it, forget about Jesus. Don't bother him with this. Listen, saints, folks, you can put this one in the bank. Anyone who tells you not to trouble Jesus with your troubles, I submit to you, doesn't really know Jesus that well. Amen? If you ever hear anybody say, don't take that to Jesus. Come on, he's got more. He's running the universe. I remember somebody that I was really close to growing up telling me that. He doesn't want to hear these petty little problems you've got. He's got bigger things to worry about. Listen, is there anything big? Anything big to Jesus? Anything big to God? Right? Anything we bring to him, do we go, does he go, whoa, that one's a big one. I don't know. No, everything is little to God. Right? Everything is tiny to God. Big to us, but not to him, not in ways of him handling it. So they don't know him like they should if they tell you not to trouble him. If we can't trouble Jesus with our problems, who can we trouble? So Jairus's faith is tested with this bad report. Then we see faith strengthened. All right, Jesus overhears the report. The people didn't come and tell Jesus this. Yeah, your daughter's dead. It came to Jairus. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus overhears it. And the word there can also be translated, he ignores it. He overhears it. He ignores it. In fact, it's an interesting Greek word. Has three meanings, and all three of them apply here. It means to overhear. Jesus overheard it. It means to pay no attention. Jesus paid no mind to what that word was. It means to refuse to listen or to discount the truth of something. Jesus, in effect, says to Jairus, that's fake news you just heard there, right? Well, don't believe that. Instead, he turns to Jairus with a word of hope, and he says, do not fear, only believe. In other words, he says to Jairus, Jairus, there's still something you can do. You've heard that your daughter is dead, but I want to tell you, there's something that you can do about that. And that is, you're going to have to move your attention, Jairus, away from the circumstances of your daughter's death and this news that you just heard, and you need to put your attention fully on me. That's what Jesus means when he says, do not fear, only believe. Do not listen to this report. Listen to me. Jesus says, you are the ruler of the synagogue. I'm the ruler of life. And I'm the ruler of death. You know, I thought about this week. And by the way, the present tense there means to believe and to keep believing, and that will be necessary as they move forward. But I thought about this question. Where is our attention right now? I know it's a temptation, are we consumed by all that we're hearing about the storms that are around us, that we're in the middle of? Are we consumed with reading this report and this report and that scientist and this politician and that world leader and this doctor and that nurse and that epidemiologist? Are we consumed to the point where we are beside ourselves with desperation? Because I think Jesus would say to us today, hey, you know what? That's not helping you. What's going to help you right now is for you to look to me and listen to me and read my word and believe what I've said. Now, I'm not telling you not to read any of those reports, but do we have to read all of them? Do we need to spend 6 or 7 hours a day thinking about this and processing this and looking at all the different things and studying the numbers and looking at the graphs and looking at the charts and trying to figure out? No, we don't. We don't. We're going to be better off mentally and spiritually if we will do what Jesus tells Jairus to do. Do not fear, only believe. And you know, it's interesting, after Jesus says that to Jairus, Luke's gospel says he also added, and she will be made well. Hey, Jairus, do not fear, only believe. And she, your daughter, whom you love, your only daughter, will be made well. James Edwards writes, oh, this is special. Faith is not something Jairus has, I love this, but something that has Jairus, carrying him from despair to hope. Hey, I want faith like that, do you? I want faith to have me, right? And not just have it. Because if I have it, if I'm holding on to it, I can easily lose it. I can drop it. I can forget it. I can go from one room to the other and say, why did I come in this room? I can't remember. But if faith has me, right, then it can carry me along. Jesus then goes into the house. What's going on in the house? Everybody said, mourning, weeping, and wailing, and screaming. In fact, mourners formed a professional guild in the first century. Looking for a job? Hey, you can be a mourner. Just sign up here. We'll train you. You'll get your mourner's card, and then you can start being available for funerals. I'm not making light of this. This is a real thing, right? There were usually women. They would accompany the funeral procession from the house to the cemetery. There was no, you know, wait for a week or whatever. They just went ahead and buried the body pretty quickly, usually in those days. And so they would accompany them, and the women, now I don't understand this, they would clap their hands together. Why? I don't know. And they would wail their laments at full volume. I get that part. Now, how do we know these were probably professional mourners? Because they go from weeping, to laughing and ridicule in a split second, don't they? That's what the text tells us. Jesus speaks a word of truth to the mourners. The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. That's what the Bible says. The child is not dead. She's merely sleeping. And they laughed. You see, they believed the science. Not saying anything negative about science. But they believed that she was dead, and the science proved that. There was no breath. There was no heartbeat. She was dead. She was getting cold. She's assuming room temperature here. And so they laughed at him because they did not know who he was. Saints, listen. The Bible, or Jesus says, death is not the end. And the world laughs at him. Jesus says, you must be born again. And they laugh at him. Jesus says, you can be forgiven. You can be free from your sins. And they laugh at him. She's not dead. She's only sleeping, he says. Jesus is not confused here. This is like when the disciples, remember, when he told his disciples, hey guys, listen, Lazarus is asleep and we need to go wake him up. You know, we're going to go wake him up. And they say, Lord, this is Amelia Bedelia again, right? Lord, let me explain something to you. If Lazarus is asleep, he'll wake up on his own. You know? I mean, I know you know this, Lord, but maybe you just forget. And Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. Why do we need to go to Bethany? Because Lazarus is dead. He uses the term sleep here to indicate death, but he's also reminding us. Why does he use the term here? I think he's reminding us that death is not to be feared by the follower of Jesus any more than falling asleep on a Sunday afternoon watching a golf tournament, which is really good for nap. We don't need to fear that nap that we'll never wake up any more than we don't need to fear death that we will never wake up. We'll simply be sleeping. Just as awakening follows the nap, awakening follows death for the believer. Jesus speaks to the crowd, but he really speaks to Jairus when he says, the child is not dead but sleeping. You see, they overhear him. They ignore him. They scoff at him. They don't believe the truth of what he's saying. But he was speaking this to the Father. We see faith strengthened. Finally, we see faith exemplified. Verses 40 through 43. Jesus puts the mourners outside. Why did he do that? Because they didn't believe. In fact, he puts everybody outside except Peter and James and John and the mother and the father. Interesting. Remember, we talked about the three, right? When we did that, we looked at Mark's, the text where Jesus chose the disciples in an earlier chapter. And these three will get to do more stuff. Jesus chose Peter, James, and John to be the inner circle. And they would see things that the other guys would never see, like this, like the Mount of Transfiguration and other things. But here they are. They go into this room where this girl is dead, and then Jesus speaks a tender word of power. How's that for an oxymoron? A tender word of power, a contrast. He says to her, little girl, arise. Mark uses the original Aramaic, right? Talitha kumi. But then he translates it for the sake of his Roman readers. Because Roman readers, remember he wrote for the Roman believers, they didn't speak Aramaic, right? They spoke Greek, but not Aramaic. And so he translates it for them. Jesus spoke Aramaic, and he translates it for them. It's the same phrase that a little girl might hear when her mother walks into her bedroom in the morning and says, honey, it's time to get up. Talitha kumi. Precious. Immediately the girl got up and began walking. Luke adds, then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. You get that? The spirit was not there. The spirit had departed the body because the girl was dead. That was not a problem for Jesus. He did then in that bedroom what he will do again and again and again times the millions of believers that there are and have been and will be when the last day comes. He will send the spirits. Remember, apart from Jesus, apart from the body, present with the Lord, He will send the Spirit into the body again, and the body will be invigorated and renewed, and it will be a different body. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death, no more issues of blood, no more leprosy, no more cancer, no more sickness. And He will call those spirits into those bodies, and we will live forever with Him. Little girl's alive. She gets up immediately. She gets up from the bed where she had been sleeping in death. And then Jesus issues a command of silence, right? We've seen this before. Because He knows His time is not here. It's not time for Him to go to the cross. So He does not want people noising this abroad so that the Roman government comes in and intervenes. That's really the only way you can understand this command of silence. Don't tell anybody about this. He tells His parent, the parents and the disciples. As we close, though, let's consider for a moment the significance of this ABA story. Remember, we started about Mark starts with Jairus, then he goes to the woman with the issue of blood, and then he closes with Jairus. And remember, we said last week that the sandwich is controlled by what's in the middle. The meat of the sandwich controls the sandwich, right? Bologna sandwich, got bologna in the middle. Well, the middle here is the woman. The woman's faith is what's critical here. Let me reason this through with you. Think about this for a moment. The only thing these two have in common is desperate circumstances. They are both desperate. They're desperate because there is something that they have no hope apart from Jesus for overcoming. Okay? But let's look at how they're different. Jairus has a name and he has a position. The woman, we don't even know her name. She's nameless. She has no position in society. She is unclean. She is outside of the society. She had to sneak into that crowd because she's a woman who's unclean because of her sickness. She has shame, but no name. Jairus approaches Jesus to His face. He comes up to Jesus to His face. Will you come to my house? How does the woman approach Jesus? In secret, from the back, reaching out where He can't see her to touch His garment. The woman hides in the crowd. Jairus approaches freely, boldly. But the irony is, Mark uses here is that it is the woman who exemplifies faith. Because, listen to me, despite her shame, she pushes through the crowd to reach Jesus. Nothing can stop her from getting to Him. Not her gender. For a woman to touch a man in public like that? No. Not her gender, not her namelessness, not her uncleanness, not her shame. Nothing can stop her. Why? Because she believes in Jesus' ability to rescue her, and nothing can change that. She speaks the word that liberates her soul. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And when Jesus says to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. I believe He's saying to Jairus, you have the faith in Me that you have just seen on display. This interruption was for this woman, but Jairus, it was for you too. Because you're getting ready to hear a negative report. You've just heard it. You're getting ready to see an impossible situation. Your dead daughter, Jairus, I want you to believe like this woman believes, and that nothing will stop you from believing. Because Jairus, nothing can stop Me from healing your daughter. Do you believe that? Have faith in Jesus despite everything in you and in the world and in the circumstances and in this storm we're in. Have faith in Jesus no matter what. To the contrary, have faith that even death is no match for Jesus. And then we will all be able to say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let's pray. Let me ask you with your eyes closed for just a moment to think about that impossible thing in your life. Or think about that thing that consumes your mind. And it may be fear of COVID. It may be fear of losing your job. It may be fear of getting sick. It may be something else. But is there something to which today you need to hear Jesus say, do not fear. Don't look there. Look here. Look at Me. Only believe. Would you take a moment and just speak that to him in your own heart? Father, we do say this morning with the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, build faith in us. Let this storm that we're in, the many storms that we're in, and of course we know that the storms around the world in third world countries are much worse than what we're experiencing here, but the storms that we are facing right now, Lord God, we pray that you would use them as you did in Jairus to build our faith in you, that you might receive the glory. And so, Lord, whether we live or whether we die, as Paul said, that you might be glorified in my body, whether I live or die. Let that be so for us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.